It's great to see you. Ron and Donna are enjoying their time out in Colorado. And so, Ron and Donna, we just bless you in the name of Jesus. Lord, may there be no hindrances. May it just be nothing but fun, rest, relaxation. And may you just come back just so super rested up, so super anointed that, Lord, that you'll just rock this place with your presence because of the God you carry. We love you, Ron and Donna. God bless. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I guess we're supposed to do announcements, right? Right. All right. Tomorrow night, the main announcement, tomorrow night is Monday night prayer. We meet out in the modular at 6:30. I would encourage you, if not come, that doesn't mean you have to come every week, but come. You will be blessed. And you'll be a blessing to others, because when there's two or three are gathered together, says Jesus is there, and when the hearts are like-minded, guess what? He moves in different ways, touching lives. So come on out and expect, because you've given yourself into the hand of the Lord. Yeah.
So this week on Monday night, we were in the prayer room all praying together, and we were praying in the Spirit. And I was sitting next to Dan, and he was praying in the Spirit, but I began to hear him in English. And what he said was, he said, "The Rose of Sharon is your breath of life." And I went, hmm. So I just kept that to myself, and we prayed. And right as the prayer time ended, we were leaving, and the prayer leader, Jean, got a text on her phone about a baby who was just taken to the hospital because they couldn't breathe. And so we began to pray for this baby. Well, this baby went home perfectly fine yesterday. So we get the opportunity, you see, because the Bible tells us his presence goes before us, right? And when we know not how we ought to pray, his Spirit takes hold together with our spirit and prays out the perfect will of God, right? So we didn't even know, but we were already praying out what this child needed before we ever had word of it. Prayer is powerful, guys. Come and join us. Amen.
Amen. We can probably all say amen to that, because of people praying for us, we are what we are today. All right. You'll wonder what this is. I'm going to take up one big... No, not really. Ron and Donna had said that we want to name the portables. If you come up with a name, put it in this basket, which I will put back there, not in the offering basket, but in this basket and this basket only, put the names that you've submitted with your name on it, so that whoever, whatever names we choose, that you'll be blessed with, I forget what Ron said he wanted to do, but $50. So, this is what it's for. Okay? And I believe with that is about the only thing left, except I got to be obedient. I saw you one day with your glasses on, and it just seemed like every time I look at you, I said, "Lord, you've got something for this young man, but what?" And with those glasses, I saw you as a doctor in front of your name. That God says, "I am taking you and grooming you at this tender age, right where you are now, for what I have and I want to equip you to do in the future." Many times you thought, "Well, I don't fit in because, well, I'm not as tall as this guy, or I can't do this, can't." But God says, "I formed you. I created you. I have a specific purpose for you to fulfill. Now, if you'll just stay tender before me, I'll speak to you in the night. I'll give you words. I'll give you wisdom. I'll give you things that people will look at you and say, 'Wait a minute, he's too young to know all this.' But with the Holy Spirit, he can lead you and guide you and bring all these out, because God has a perfect plan ordained for you." Now he's saying, "Don't be afraid. Don't be timid, but just stand up and go forward with me, because I'll be with you, and I'll use you that my name may be glorified on this earth. Amen. Well, today we have a very gifted speaker. Come on up, Kirk. This guy and I just, we hit it off. From the moment we met each other, we just hit it off. Anyway, I believe we have. I just feel like he's a dear brother in the Lord, which he is. And he's got a wife that I'm getting to know that's just, she keeps him going. But Kirk has pastored. That doesn't mean the gift is gone. The gift is still there. And today he's going to bring forth the word. So I just ask that we would just, you would just welcome this brother in the Lord. Your mind and eyes and ears will be open to what he wants to do and what he wants you to receive in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. I tell you, I'm just always totally blown away about how God begins to organize and orchestrate what he wants to do. And I have to tell you something. God has already had an altar call for the message that I want to give prior to the message that I want to give. So how does that work, right? Oh, my word. Well, I consider it a privilege to be here with you this morning. There's no doubt that I am honored and humbled at the same time. Kathy and I had the privilege of leading a body of believers that we affectionately called the NAS. And it was in that assignment that we first met Ron and Donna. And we had come together, and we were going to share a facility together that Hope was on Saturday night, and the NAS was on Sunday morning. And so there was this really a really perfect arrangement for me. It was really great to have them with us, but it soon became very evident that there was more than just sharing a facility that God wanted to do. Ron and Donna, you know, and they're your pastors, but they've been good friends of mine for a long time, carry an anointing that's contagious. And just being around them begins to lift you up and make you better. And that's exactly what happened in our time together. They began to say things that I'd never heard before. They began to speak into my life things that I had never experienced. And I have to tell you, my spirit inside of me began to resonate. And I began to get really hungry for the deep things of God. Because I wasn't there. I was pastoring, but I wasn't walking in the deep things of God. Now, I want to tell you something, that didn't happen on purpose, it didn't happen by accident. It happened on purpose because Ron and Donna were carrying an anointing, and they were releasing an anointing. When we were sharing a facility, they were there just releasing. And that's really what I want to talk to you about today. Because what Ron and Donna were really doing was a gift of impartation. They were imparting to us. They were releasing what was in them, and they were releasing it to us. And in turn, we've had the wonderful privilege of being able to release that into other people. And so that's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. So let's say this. Impartation, let's just start setting some groundworks. Impartation can be instant. It can. It can happen right this second, just like that. But more often, impartation is a seed that falls on good soil. And we have to understand that. In either case, it really doesn't matter. In either case, it happens at the sound of the master's voice. We have to walk in tune with what the Spirit is saying to us. It's not something that you and I do on our own, but it's under the influence of the Holy Ghost. And if we steward the gift that way, if we only lay hands on people when the Holy Spirit begins to say, lay hands on. If we begin to speak prophetically over people only after the Holy Spirit speaks to us to speak. If we only move with what's in us when prompted by God, then you can be assured that he has gone before us and you will be 100% successful in impartation. Hallelujah. Now, I'll give you an illustration for that because I think it's important. In Acts, I think it was about the third chapter, it talks about a young boy who was born lame. and he was placed at the gate called Beautiful. You remember that? It says, and it was very specific. He was placed there at the gate called Beautiful every day. Well, I don't know if you know what the gate called Beautiful is, but that's the entrance into the temple. And when I read my word, I find out that Jesus entered the temple many times. And he would have gone right by that boy that was sitting there lame and in need, and yet didn't transfer the anointing that he carried to that lame boy. Why? Because he didn't hear the Father's voice. It wasn't his appointed time. It wasn't his destiny. It was for Peter and John to come along and not lay hands on him and say, be healed in Jesus' name. It's not what they did. They came along, and with what was in them, they simply said, what I have, I give to you. What was it that he gave? He gave faith. They gave what he needed to believe. Simple impartation of what you, every one of us here has that. Every one of us, if we're here today and we say that we're kingdom people, are saved by grace through what? Faith. We all have faith. We have the ability to impart what we believe into somebody else so the reality of the kingdom can be theirs. At the sound of the Master's voice. So I want to make a case for being, for us being aware and tuned into the residual effects of being in the presence of the Holy One, or maybe I should say the Holy One being in us. See, I believe the leadership of this body has a right. It's all about the glory. But they are right. The enemy wants us to live by feelings instead of faith. Amen? The enemy wants us to live by feelings instead of faith. And so often we've gotten ourselves in trouble, and we've let unbelief come into our life because on feelings we've gone out and we've laid hands on the sick when it wasn't our time to lay hands on the sick, and we did not see it happen. And so we began to become dormant because we didn't see us our lives line up with what the Scripture said. Faith, on the other hand, rests in his work, and it's always victorious. So I want to look at a few scriptures that lay a foundation for the concept of impartation this morning and for us walking in his presence and ultimately releasing it. So there's not going to be any scriptures on the screen. It's by my design, so don't get mad at anybody else. You can write them down, and the reason I want you to do that because I want you to do homework. I don't ever want you to take whatever what I say as truth until you've done, tested it on your own, until you've done the research, until you've done, put yourself in front of that word and said, yes, that's the word, and I receive the word, because it doesn't make a difference if you don't do it that way. You cannot take what anybody says, not even Pastor Ron and Donna, as face value. You must test the word, okay? So you got some homework this week. I'm going to be reading from the New King James, and for those of you that don't read from it, forgive me. Let's read a couple scriptures first, and then we'll go back and unpack them. You can turn to Romans 1:11 if you have your sword with you, and you can bookmark 1 Thessalonians 2:8. Romans 1:11 and 1 Thessalonians 2:8. In Romans 1:11, the Apostle Paul writes, he says, I'm writing to the saints. Who are the saints? Yeah. So we could very much put ourselves in this word this morning. Paul, an apostle, writes to the saints, people that were saved, people that had an understanding. They believed that Jesus died and rose again, didn't he? That's the saints that he was writing to. And here's what it says in verse 11, and I'm going to enlarge this first part because it's important that we grasp this throughout this message. He says, for I long, I desire, I am desperate to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me. 1 Thessalonians 2:8. Here again, it's the Apostle Paul, but now he's joined with Silas and Timothy. And he writes to the church at Thessalonica, and this is what he says. He says, so affectionately, with passion, I am longing for you. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also of our own lives, because you have become dear to us. There's only three references. If you ever do a word study on impart or imparted, there's only three references in all the New Testament that you're going to find those words. We'll look at the last one here in a minute, but let's go back and look at Romans 1 and Thessalonians. It doesn't take a Thessalonians, it doesn't take a theologian to unpack this. In Romans, the intent is to impart a spiritual gift to another. Pretty simple. In other words, Paul, full of the Holy Ghost, with love being the motivating factor, you did see that, right? That he longed. There was something in him that just welled up. There was a passion in him that when he came to them, that there was something I have to give you because of my love for you. That was the motivation. We can never get by that. It always has to be our motivation. And with that being the motivating factor, he felt it was his purpose. So what he was destined for was to release what he had to those who didn't have or those who lacked. Who is he writing to? Who are the saints? The end result, the whole purpose that he did what he did was to establish them in mutual faith. The word establish means to strengthen. So Paul's exhorting us today that whatever you have inside of you, I want you to release it to your brethren because you have a deep love for one another, and that when you do that, you'll strengthen one another and we can be established together. Well, it goes a little bit further, and it begins to really kind of wreck me a little bit, because the mutual faith part, I have a hard time with. I have a hard time when I look at the mutual faith, because here's what Paul's saying. Here's what I think he's saying anyway. I'm an apostle. I carry the anointing. I have all the gifts that you would want me to have. I speak in tongues more than all of you. And I've come here, and I want to impart something to you, but hold on a second. You have something that you're going to impart to me just as well. Do you hear what he's saying? It's not a one-way street. It's a two-way street. We are never wanting for anything. We have all been given a gift to release unto one another. Doesn't matter who you are here today. You see that this morning? Everyone here has something to release that's going to point people to his kingdom. In Thessalonians, it was his life. Paul was saying, basically, hey, I give you everything I am. I'm going to make a commitment to you. I'm not only am I going to make a commitment, I'm going to come into covenant. We're going to be married. And listen, it willingly cost him everything. I don't want to make it sound too romantic, but I have to tell you something. If you come into covenant with people, it's going to be hard at times. Because listen, I don't care if you're a Christian or not. We're messy at times, aren't we? And Paul was saying, it doesn't matter to me. I'm giving my life over to you. I've shared the gospel with you, but I'm giving you my life as well. And whatever I carry, you can have. Because he understood kingdom principles, that whatever you give away, you're going to get back tenfold. He also understood that to share the gospel, to share the kingdom, was to share power. 1 Corinthians 4:20 tells it this way. The kingdom of God is not of word, but of power. The kingdom of God is not of word, but it's of power. It's easier to talk about Jesus than it is to display him, isn't it? Come on. I've been guilty of it. I would rather talk to people about Jesus than actually display him. But yet that's what Paul is telling us to do. Listen, why don't you just shut up and just, can I say that? And just release what's in you. We're not releasing our stuff. We're releasing his stuff. You know what the word impart means? It means to give over. If you look it up, it means to give over. I've come to impart. I've come to give over. But it comes from a deeper word. It doesn't stand alone. To give over doesn't stand alone. It comes from a root word that means in cooperation. So if you put the two of them together, it says, I've come to give over in cooperation with. Doesn't take long to figure out who we're in cooperation with, does it? We're in cooperation with the Holy Ghost. I've come to give over in cooperation with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Problem with using this is I lose my place. So we see Paul gave spiritual gifts when he imparted. How many of you need wisdom here this morning? How many of you would like to carry a healing anointing in your life? How many of you would like to carry faith that you can impart to your children and to your grandchildren? You see, there's people in here that carry and host that anointing. But until we get to a place to where we're willing to be humble enough to be able to transfer it without becoming offended or indifferent at the fact that someone carries a greater anointing, listen, you're going to get back to them because you have something that they're not carrying. We need each other to be one. Amen? So I have to ask the question this morning, what are you hosting? What are you hosting that you should be releasing? Because a church that hosts the Holy Ghost, I mean a church that really hosts the Holy Spirit that we talked about this morning, that the men came forward to say, listen, I'm here, transforms a city. It doesn't just transform churches. It transforms cities. And that's exactly what he said. Listen, you know what the prophetic word is? It says the Christmas story talks about his kingdom will have no end. In other words, we've been given this incredible responsibility to steward this gift in such a way that his kingdom moves forward. And he's assured us and promised us that when we carry the power of the Holy Spirit in us, things will change. It will happen. The question is, are we hosting the Holy Ghost? I've run them out. The last reference I want to look at is in Luke 3, 10 through 11. And this is John, who we know as the Baptist, the forerunner. And in verse 8, he says, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Now, he didn't say bear fruit. It's very specific in the scripture that he wants us to bear fruits. In other words, more than one. And we know that those fruits are what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. In other words, there's an evidence that happens in our life when there's repentance. Amen? Amen. Okay, and those, well, let me keep on going here. But then he prophesies over them. He says, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And then he prophesies and he warns them that every tree that doesn't bear good fruit is going to be cut down. Are we hearing this morning? And then the people prostrated themselves, I think. It doesn't say that, but it says the people cried. What shall we do? And listen to this. It says his response was this. He who has two tunics, let him impart. Let him give over to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise. You got to remember, that was prefaced by this. Bear good fruits. So, spiritual food. And give to those who are hungry and even those who have none. That's what he's trying to tell us here. He's laying the groundwork that what we have doesn't belong to us. It belongs to him. So you take something that heaven's deposited in you and you give over to another in participation with Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For it is by what? Come on, don't get silent on me. For it is by grace. We sang about that this morning. Grace is enough. That's what we said, right? Is really grace enough? For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourself, but a gift of God, not works, lest anyone should boast. I'm going to just carry this through. We all know it. For we are his, what? Workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God had prepared before that we should walk in them. It's been a while since I preached. I got a lot of stuff I got to get through here. So God, through Jesus, put something in us to give to over to another in participation with his plan, right? Isn't that the key? And the only way for us to know his plan for our lives and for the people that we come in contact with is to live in intimacy with him. To become lovers. A place where his heart's desire is our heart's desire at any cost. I mean, this is all good. It sounds good, doesn't it? But it's a little bit harder than it sounds. Because God's a jealous God. And when he wants your heart, he wants your whole heart. See, that becomes our battle position. A place where we surrender and mighty things happen. Jesus teaches this in John 4:14 when he was speaking to a woman at a well. By the way, a woman that religion says that he shouldn't have been talking to. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. That's what he says, what happened to you and I. Tanny, can I have a bottle of water, please? Thanks. Why did Sandy give me the water? No, that's not why. Why did Sandy give me the water? No, that's it. She had the bottle of water to give me. And if Jesus says that there's a fountain in us, we have something to give. We have something to impart. We've got to get past this mentality that somehow we're not what God says we are. That there is a river flowing in us, that there's life in us, that there's something that we carry that we can impart to others that will change their lives. What are you full of this morning? That's the question I want to know. What is this church full of this morning? Jesus' whole life, his death, his resurrection was preparing us to host his presence. That's the whole purpose. His glory revealed so that the glory in us that was given to us through the indwelling presence of the Holy Ghost could be imparted from one to another till you and I are all one in the Spirit. That's what the whole purpose is. That's what he says. I want to give you a reference for that statement. Let me give you a reference for that. John 17, it says, after he prays for himself, then he prays for his disciples. Okay? Now, this is Jesus. And this is what he proclaims. And this is still true today because his word has no end. It will accomplish its purpose in anyone here that's willing to receive it. John 17, 20, I do not pray for these alone, meaning his disciples, but for those who will believe in me through their word. In other words, our salvation has directly come through Jesus by way of people who imparted it to someone else, who imparted it to someone else, who imparted it to someone else, and it ended up on my doorstep, and I received it, and I believe it. It then becomes my privilege and my opportunity to release what was given to me that started with Jesus and the Apostle Paul and everyone else, and give to another. Amen. With an expectation that the Holy Spirit's already spoken to me, that God has already been working in their heart, and that there's going to be transformation. A Holy Spirit-filled church changes cities. It isn't just about, woo! It can't be just about, woo. It has to be about transformation. And it will be about transformation if you and I will become desperate enough to meet the condition. Yeah. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to run, just jump right to there. I might have to go through several pages before I get there. Let me do this. I don't really know if you're getting where I'm kind of all over the place. I get it. I'm sorry. But I don't know if you're getting what Jesus is trying to say here. He says it himself, and then he says it through his apostles. But really what he's trying to teach us is, listen, I've stewarded what God gave me. I've stewarded it well, by the way. And now I'm going to turn it over to you to steward. And the gift in stewarding isn't about keeping. the gift in stewarding is being humble enough to give it away. Amen. That transforms cities.
Yeah. Yeah.
That changes the atmosphere in a congregation. It becomes like a magnet. You see, when we can steward that right, you and I don't really necessarily have to go out on the street corner and proclaim, because God will look and he'll say, I'm well pleased with what's taking place there. And he'll do exactly what he did in Acts. You know what he did? And God added to their numbers daily, because we have a love for him, a love for him that he can trust us with broken people. So why isn't that happening? I mean, I think we have to ask that question. I'm not preaching at you. Listen, I've been underneath this word all week, and I didn't do so well. But he didn't give it to discourage me. He gave it to me to open my eyes so I can see where I'm at. Yeah. So that we can do something about it. So that there can be repentance. And the evidence of repentance will be fruits. And the evidence of fruits is always going to be power.
Yeah.
Jesus said that he would fill us with power. He didn't say power to persuade people with your tongue. It didn't work for the Apostle Paul. There's places that you read in the scripture where he labored there for years, and it says, and he walked away with only a handful. He made it sound like, ooh, wasn't even worth it, which isn't true, but you know what I'm saying. And then he says he was determined to go in the power of the Spirit, and the whole friggin' city came down. So what are we doing? 1 Corinthians 12 says that this is what he's imparted to us. God has placed in there for the profit of all. Say all. Carlos, what you carry, I need. What you carry, I want. I'm hungry for it. I have something I can give you. And we got to, unto another, one to another, to another. And so he says, I'm going to put these in people. Some have all of them. Some have none of them. But because there's love in the house, you're going to release them and you're going to become one in the Spirit. To some's given wisdom, to another knowledge, to another faith, to another gifts of healing, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another interpretation of tongues, to another different kinds of tongues. But all in all, it's the same Spirit distributing to each one as who? He wills. Now, I've had the healing anointing on me before. I've had it. I've heard the Lord say, place your hand on that person's back. And to this day, that person constantly testifies. Do you remember the day that you touched me? Well, it was God that touched her. But I can't tell you this morning. But yeah, I can. I can tell you this morning that I don't walk in a healing anointing. But at that moment, he willed. And I pass it on to this dear sister. And I can't, you know what? Because her faith was strengthened, I guarantee you that she lays hands on people. Because she believes. Have you ever been touched by the Lord? There's your strong point. If he's changed you in your life in a certain way, then by golly, that's the place where you ought to start, right there, because you know the power of God. All right. Enough of that nonsense. Now, I want to caution all of us here this morning, because I think it's important. Whoever carries the gifts, when you run across people that carry the gifts, you better look to make sure that the fruit is there. Because there'll be people that come into our lives that have the power, but they don't have the fruit. And I'm going to tell you something, that's a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous combination. They can't be separated. The gifts and the fruit can't be separated if you and I are going to be authentic in our walk. I think that's what it means in Matthew 25 when it talks about the parable of the talents. God gives talents, and he gives them in different numbers. He's to you, he gives five. To Carlos, he gives three. And Danny gives one. And then he says, now steward those. And the ones that put them to work, the ones that took what he was given that wasn't of them and he began to give it away, didn't worry about the source or whether or not they were going to run out. Because of their obedience, because of their love for what they were given, they were given more, except for the one that held on to it. What happened to the one that held on to the talent that he was given? He He took it back. We don't want to hear that in church, do we? That's not seeker friendly, is it? No, I'm serious, man. That's a hard word. You better get that into your spirit. That what God has accomplished upon the cross and what he has put into you is a valuable commodity. How dare us not use it? What are you hosting? What are you hosting this morning that he needs or that she needs or that he needs? What are you hosting? And how in the world are we sitting on it instead of giving it away? How come our meetings don't look like the meetings in Acts? Where Pastor Ron's whole responsibility, Pastor Ron and Donna's whole responsibility is to stand up here and keep order. Because the gifts are flowing. Not in disarray. It's not weird. But it's in order. It's like what took place here this morning. God determined to have an altar call before the message. You know what the word host means? I keep asking you, what are you hosting? You know what the word host means? Anybody? Let's have fun. You can't do it wrong. I won't make fun of you. Yeah, it's exactly what it means. It means an innkeeper. Get a hold of that for a minute. You and I are innkeepers of his presence. And while there was no room in the inn for Mary and Joseph, I'm going to tell you something. By the word of God, there's plenty of room in our inn. You and I steward the very presence of the kingdom. That's what we are. We're innkeepers. Nothing more. We bring people in and we steward their needs and then we send them right back out. That's what a Christian is. Stevie boy, you mind? It'd be wrong of me, though, just to sit here and paint this picture of all the power that you and I have in us unless we really go to the source of, I think, why the church is powerless. Everyone got their ears open? Because when he says that we receive power, that's exactly what he means. Kathy and I had three of, I think, the best kids in the world. And I have 9 grandchildren that rest on me stewarding the kingdom in a way that I can impart unto them. I only have one of them in church. And there's a reason for that. I spent a lot of my years in church without the anointing. We saw people get saved. Because that's God's heart for people. In spite of me, people were being saved. People were being baptized. And his love for us is unconditional, people. I mean, he couldn't have revealed his love in a greater way than to shed his son's blood on a cross and then to prove it by having him rise from the dead. His love is undeniable. And it's unconditional. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. His power comes with a condition. No amens? His power comes with a condition. And I'm just going to cut to the chase. Matter of fact, here's what I'd like you to do. Just kind of bow your heads with me. Because I'm 100% certain that there's no such thing as a powerless Christian. It's an oxymoron. God did not set us up for failure. He didn't set this standard up here and say, here, try to live up to that on your own. So, close your ears this morning. You heard me right. Close your ears. And I want you to open up your heart. I want you to open up your heart to hear what I think Jesus has been trying to say. I want your whole heart. I want everything about you this morning. I want all your affection. I want all your attention because I'm going to speak into your life. I want an audience with you every second, every minute of every day. I want your mind so that when I say you're whole and made holy, you don't ever look back to where you came from. Because I have a purpose for you and given you a destiny. I've called you to a kingdom and I've made you a king and I've clothed you in royalty. I want your soul. I want everything about you. And in return, I promise this morning, I'll give you everything about me. And the evidence will be your love for the brethren and for those who are yet to be. I'll give you an undeniable power for all to see that I am who I say I am and that you are who you say you are, who I say you are. Luke 9:23 says it this way. If anyone comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, not just 10 years ago, but daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever who loses his life for my sake will save it. You know what deny means? You can raise your heads. You know what deny means? It means to utterly disown. Utterly disown. He's saying to you, listen, you want me? You can have me. But you got to get rid of you first. And that's the position we take. He does the work. We just come to a place where we say, that's it, Lord, I give it up. I'm done. And I totally give everything. Everything I've been holding back. All the things that I do that have kept me from being kingdom, I surrender it all. And when that happens, then there's a real anointing that falls on people. He can trust us with his power because we won't wield it with our own fleshly desires. We'll wield it as his still, small voice. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you something. It doesn't just happen. Does it, Carlos? It doesn't just happen. It's not an accident. It happens on purpose, people. It's his desire for you. It's his desire for you to be the person that carries the anointing so that when people see you, the word teaches us, the reason he gives us that, so that it's that when people see us, that they're convinced that Jesus came from the Father. In other words, we're the real deal. We're almost done here. Can I tell you something? That type of love for people always flows out of compassion. It always flows out of his sourcing us. But the condition is I want all of you. I love my wife. Can I tell you that? I love my wife. And I'm hopeful that she loves me. But here, let me just share this with you. If Kathy and I, in our human relationship, can love one another and then have this thing between us that says, listen, I'm going to give you all of me and she's going to give me all her. And somewhere along the line, I began to sneak out on her and try sharing my love with other people. What's going to happen to me? Yeah. We understand that, don't we? Listen, your wife wants you to be faithful, doesn't she? She wants all of you. She doesn't want to share with you somebody else. We get that, don't we? Where do you think that came from? It came from him because we were created in him. And when he seeks us for all that we are, not just part of us. What are you hosting? What are you hosting? What are you hosting this morning? Listen, the evidence is power. And so that's what I want you to just ponder this morning. I know you love the Lord. I know that you believe and with your heart that he died for you. I know that. And I know that you know that he rose from the grave and that he sits at the right hand of the Father. I know that too. We can sit in church our whole life and we can believe that. And we can be enamored by the Spirit's presence because the Spirit is always wooing our hearts. But we cannot confuse that for the baptism of the Spirit, which says, I'm going to completely immerse myself in him so that he can completely immerse himself in me. And that doesn't happen until we come to a complete surrender. And there's going to be evidence. See, you can fake a lot of things, but you can't fake the anointing. And you shouldn't have to, because Calvary purchased it for you. It's his love that accomplished the impossible in us. Made us holy. Made us worthy. Made us kings. And most of all, he made us innkeepers of his presence, of his kingdom, and his glory revealed. That's a challenge for us today. That's what I present to you. The question is, what are you hosting?
Draw us near, Lord, and meet us here, because it's your kindness, Lord, that leads us to repentance. It's your favor, Lord, as I desire. It's your beauty, Lord, that makes us stand in silence, because you're your kindness, Lord, that leads us to repentance. In your favor, Lord, is our desire. It's your beauty, Lord, that makes us stand in silence. Your done for us, Lord. Not anything we do. Jesus, we worship you, Lord. We worship you.